You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
At the start of the show, you heard Skulk Lowe mention that global markets are up and down and there's a lot of global factors at play. And we're taking a look at how those global factors can influence the South African picture, especially with all that we have to contend with. I'm joined on the line by senior economist at Nedbank, Isaac Mashego, to take a look at this. Good evening, Isaac. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the developments that we've seen out of Asia. We got Chinese data out yesterday that suggested, or on Monday, rather, that suggested that the Chinese economy or the Chinese industrial production numbers were doing better than expected, but at the same time, retail numbers came in lower than expected. Is the economy or are investors still bearish on the Chinese picture?
Good evening, sir. Definitely, you know, the Chinese numbers released yesterday were mixed. Industrial production at 7% year-on-year over the first 2 months of this year, slightly stronger than expected, but we did see a slowdown in retail sales. And basically, under all this, I can say, continues to be worries about the imbalances in the Chinese property sector. Tomorrow we will see, or rather in the morning, Asian time, Asian markets open while we're sleeping, and when we wake up, we will know what the People's Bank of China has decided on interest rates after it cuts its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points in February. So there's still a lot of worry about the Chinese recovery. Still very wobbly. We've seen basically Chinese Parliament in Feb announcing that growth will still be targeted at 5% this year. But the verdict is out there, whether investors believe that, whether Chinese growth will remain at 5% in 2024.
I wonder how the market will then process that information, because we know as the Chinese, when the Chinese market sneezes, other emerging markets catch the cold. Let's look at some of the developments around the developed markets, sticking in Asia for a second with Japan. Japanese interest rates going up for the first time in 17 years. Finally, the last country that had negative interest rates now no longer has negative interest rates. They are at zero, but the shift in policy, how does that then translate into how the market is reading global conditions? How's the market interpreting that versus everything else?
Yes, that's a very encouraging development, because finally we've seen Japan moving to normal interest rates, i.e. positive interest rates. You and I are not at all accustomed to interest rates being at negative. So this is a sign of confidence in the Japanese economy. And also, you know, just going back to the China data, which was better than expected, we've seen all these developments, for instance, boosting copper prices. And that is encouraging, because we could see a broad-based recovery in commodity prices. And with South Africa remaining a commodity exporter, we could benefit quite handsomely from that.
Speaking of benefiting quite handsomely, obviously the South African picture largely at the mercy of what's happening around the world in some respects, but we do have our own domestic inflation that's coming out tomorrow. So alongside the Chinese interest rate decision, we've got our inflation picture. We've also got an interest rate conversation coming out of the US. How are we seeing all of these global factors and the local ones influence potential monetary policy decisions next week?
Sure, definitely. I mean, on the global front, this is a very busy week for interest rates. We've already had China yesterday, we've already had Australia and Canada today. We've got China tomorrow, we've got the US, and we've got Norway, we've got Brazil later in the week. And take domestic data, CPI, the key one tomorrow. Our expectation is that it will remain unchanged at 5.3%. The big driver will be higher oil prices in February. Other market forecasters looking at 5.4, but we do not believe that tomorrow's number will significantly shift the tone of the South African Reserve Bank next week. I mean, from the US, we expect Powell to basically confirmed that the Fed will start cutting in June this year, and that will basically create that space for our Reserve Bank to start cutting probably as early as July.
We are hopeful for that rate cut. We know we've been pushing them out since the start of the year. Mr. Mashego, before I let you go, let's take a look into the future beyond June, July and the rate cuts, because we know that alongside this, the UK as well has started to price in that they might be cutting from August. But I want to look ahead towards November. November elections come around and we already know the outcome of Russian elections. Vladimir Putin remains in power. We know the outcome of Chinese elections. At the moment, Xi Jinping remains the president there as well. If we go into November and Donald Trump returns as president, is the market even thinking that a trade war could be reignited between the US and China? Or is there enough at the moment that the market has to deal with that's on the market's plate that this is not even being thought about?
I will say that, you know, in this environment, November is too far ahead. We still have our own elections to contend with in May this year. But on the global front, yes, that's the big worry for this year. Trump, you will recall, the 2018 trade war with China really did disrupt trade flows in some key regions. And now he has threatened to hike tariffs on Chinese goods further, talking about up to 60% on some goods. And that would definitely rattle global markets. We will see as the U.S. elections approach in November how markets really digest this, but you know, it will all be about how likely Trump will win. Although at the moment it seems that it's you know, head to head with Biden, but the Trump presidency, another Trump presidency rather, seems to be an unwelcome development by global markets, particularly emerging market assets.
When we look at emerging market assets or the global and developed market assets, where are you seeing the pockets of opportunities given what we know now? So let's look from now to perhaps our election, because things might change and the picture might look very different for Q3 and Q4. How are you seeing Q2 play out?
Sure. I mean, emerging markets were always offer better value than your developed markets, because I mean, due to the lower level of development, you know, there's potential for emerging markets to basically develop their economies faster, grow their companies faster, and in that way boost earnings growth faster than in developed markets. But you know, it's all according to domestic factors. You know, all those imbalances and constraints that hold back growth in these economies. I mean, we know our own here. We know in China that overregulation and, you know, the control by the Communist Party tends to limit growth in some sectors. And of course, we have seen that there's been excesses in some sectors, such as, for instance, the property sector and the production of electric vehicles. So it's all about looking for opportunities in these markets. But overall, I would say that I remain very bullish on emerging markets.
We remain bullish on emerging markets. We remain bullish on SA Inc., but let's get our factors under control. Thank you so much for those insights. That's Isaac Mashego, who is the senior economist at Nedbank, joining me to reflect on some of the global developments we've seen unfold in countries like Japan and China, as well as some expectations for South Africa and the US.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.